Good morning. He is risen. Awesome. I wasn't sure how that was going to go down. It's great to have you with us this morning. If you're joining us online, it is fantastic to have you joining us online. I was going to have a little friend up here with me on stage this morning, but it's a little bit of a sad day. So I'm going to read a little bit of a chunk to you, and it's going to be all my voice. So stick with me. Although we heard me read a serious chunk of scripture last week, so I think we're going to be okay. Psalm 148. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him from the skies. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all the armies of heaven. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you twinkling stars. Praise him, skies above. Can you turn the page for me? Praise him, vapors high above the clouds. Let every created thing give praise to the Lord, for he issued his command and they came into being. He established them forever and forever. His orders will never be revoked. Praise the Lord from the earth, you creatures of the ocean depths, fire and hail, snow and storm, wind and weather that obey him, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all livestock, reptiles and birds, kings of the earth and all people, rulers and judges of the earth, young men and maidens, old men and children, let them all praise the name of the Lord, for his name is very great. His glory towers over the earth and heaven. He has made his people strong, honoring his godly ones. The people of Israel who are close to him, praise the Lord. And then I'm going to jump to 150. Praise God in his heavenly dwelling. Praise him in his mighty heaven. Praise him for his mighty works. Praise his unequaled greatness. Praise him with a blast of the trumpet. Praise him with the lyre and harp. Praise him with the tambourine and dancing. You heard me. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with a clash of cymbals. Praise him with loud clanging cymbals. Let everything that lives sing praises to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I think the instructions are pretty clear, don't you? I think we know what we need to do this morning. Why don't you stand with us? I give you full permission to get your dancing boots on. You can clap if you feel inspired to do so, but we are going to praise this victorious God who has risen from the grave.
Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we get to praise your name, that you are so good. Father, would you help us to remember that this is a happy, happy Sunday, the day that Jesus was resurrected, that Good Friday was not the end, that death was not the end, that we know that Good Friday is good because Sunday has come. Thank you, God, for so much to praise you for. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Happy Resurrection Sunday. My name's Kira, and I have the privilege of bringing to you God's Word. So we're going to be reading from Matthew 28. If you've got your Bibles, I encourage you to open them up, follow along. So Matthew 28, verse 1. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, and an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.'"
His word stands final and forever. He will not be shaken. He alone has won it all. Your strongholds bowing to the Savior. Resurrection power over every circumstance. His word stands final and forever. It will not be shaken. He alone has won it all. It is done. It is finished. Christ has won.
Continuing on in chapter 28 of Matthew, verse 11, while the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say his disciples came during the night and stole him away while you were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age."
Over every broken place, he is
The Father's will complete. He reigns in victory.
Sing hallelujah to the King. He is worthy to receive all the worship we can bring. What he's done, what he's done. All the glory and the honor to the Son.
You may be in this space this morning, and maybe you've never heard the story of Easter before. Maybe you've heard the story of Easter before, but you kind of feel like you're hearing it through fresh eyes this morning. Like it's a story that you know, but it's not a story that you know. And I am so excited that you get to hear this story today. Because on Easter Sunday, we celebrate not just that our King came and humbled himself, not just that he made himself low and that he did everything to pay for our brokenness, but on Easter Sunday, we declare that our King is risen. That he is King Jesus, that he has authority and power over sickness and death, that he has been resurrected and that he lives and that we can access him. It is the greatest story, but it's not just a story. Because I believe with every bone in my body that it is real. And I'm so excited that we get to share this together as a body of believers. King Jesus, we stand here this morning in total gratitude. Our hearts are turned toward heaven this morning as we consider that act of victory. That act of victory as you conquered sin and death and you resurrected from the grave that we might know you here in a building in Enfield in 2022. Spirit of the living God, would you reveal yourself to each of us afresh today? May we set aside our doubt. May we set aside our criticism, our cynicism, that we would see you this morning. and that we would understand all that you have done for us, King Jesus, in your mighty and wonderful and sovereign and eternal name. Amen. You may take your seats. Thank you, band. You also may take your seats, I believe. No, you may not. Sorry, I'm wrong. Stay where you are. Casey, come back. I didn't have the run sheet in front of me. I apologize. I'm sorry, guys. I have the privilege of inviting you this morning to give of your tithes and your offerings. If you're a part of our church community, you would know that that is something that we do, and we do it for two reasons. We do it because we believe it's what God has called us to do, to give of our finances first to God, who has abundantly blessed us with everything that we have, and also because it keeps the lights on. And so we love that you partner with us in that way. You can do that by either putting money in the box, as you always do, or you can do it online if that's how you prefer to give. And we also wanted to remind you about the Crossroads offering that is taken up over Easter, which is the Baptist Church's way of sending the good news out to the communities and the places that we live in. And so if you would love to partner with Crossroads this weekend, you can also do that. Crossover, sorry. I'm having a bad moment, everybody. Cross over, then you can do that by either following the QR code, which is very fancy indeed, or you can go onto our website or their website, which is also on the screen. So we have our own QR codes, actually, because that's how fancy we are. And so you can, some of you might even be able to see those on the backs of chairs, and you could scan that, and that's how you get in contact with us during the week. So if you want to give us your details so that we can get in contact with you, let you know what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have a prayer request that you would love us to partner with you in bringing before God, then you can do that by using that QR code. I reckon that's it. I don't have, am I good? Okay. We're going to sing one more song, because it's our absolute joy and privilege to be able to declare the goodness of God. I reckon you know this one. So why don't you stand with us as we sing about the living hope that we have found in God this Easter.
Great the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Could imagine so great a mercy, what I could fathom, such boundless grace. The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, free. Hallelujah. sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. And out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory. Hallelujah, praise the Lord.
Amen. Please have a seat. Thanks so much for leading us, Casey and the team, this morning in worship to our risen Saviour and King. Just before we dive into God's Word this morning, just have an announcement to share with you. On Wednesday morning of this week, Kevin Rogers passed from this life into glory. He did that with Roz and the whole family by his side. In hospital, and we want to send and give our love and condolences to Roz and family, Vicky, and one of his boys was there as well, Dennis, and so thankful that they were able to be by his side. And we are thankful that because Kevin Rogers knew Jesus Christ, death had lost its grip on him. And so we rejoice at the fact that though Kevin has passed from this life, he is very, very much alive. And he is rejoicing with a new body in a way that he has not experienced ever before. And so while we grieve and mourn because of the loss of a loved one, we also rejoice because of the very thing that we celebrate on Resurrection Sunday. That Jesus Christ is no longer in the grave, but he has risen back to life. And so we do extend our condolences and our love to Roz and the family. The funeral will probably be at some stage late this week, but we'll send out details on that as soon as we have them. We'll find out more on Tuesday. Let's pray, though, as we dive into the Word this morning. If you've got a Bible or if you've got one on your phone, I would love for you to look up 1 Peter chapter 1. And this is going to be our text this morning. But let's pray as we do. Oh, Lord God, we praise you for who you are and just how wonderful you are. We thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy that while we were so wretched and lost in our sin, you sent Jesus Christ into this world to live a perfect, spotless, sinless life and ultimately die a horrific death in order to pardon us and pay the penalty that we deserve so that we would be set free. We thank you that you, Lord Jesus, have not just died but risen back to life, that you are seated with God in the heavenly places, that you are interceding for us, and that in this you have sealed an eternity with you for anyone who believes in you by faith. What an incredible message this is, a life-changing message. And as we hear this, Lord, maybe for the 100th time, or maybe even more than that, or the first time, I pray that you do radical, deep, and beautiful work in us to renew us in our love for you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, in June 1815, Napoleon Bonaparte met the coalition forces under the Duke of Wellington in the battle at Waterloo. A victory here for Napoleon would mean that Europe and England would be plunged into years and years of war, of death, enslavement under French domination. And so the English were plunged into panic and into despair as they waited the outcome of the battle at Waterloo. Now, in those days, messages were passed from vast distances and relayed through semaphore. It's basically a system of holding up two flags in certain positions according to an alphabetical code. And so a man would stand atop of Dover with a spyglass able to read the flags across the English Channel. And then he would in turn relay that same message again to another watch further inland. And so a message would be able to be passed from France and reach London very, very quickly. But on June 18th, the Dover watch began, and the semaphore message was this: WELLINGTON. Wellington, DEFEATED. Suddenly, fog rolled in across the channel and the Dover watch wasn't able to read anymore. The message, Wellington defeated, was therefore sent down to London. The officials in London assumed that Wellington had been defeated at Waterloo by Napoleon, and so they expected to see these victory processions of French troops rolling through Brussels and other European cities. How long would it be until the French arrived in London as conquerors? And so in despair, the English people prepared for further war, for bloodshed and further defeats and discouragement. But after 3 days, the fog over the English Channel began to lift and the semaphore began to operate once again, and the message began with the same words, WELLINGTON, Wellington, DEFEATED, defeated. But wait, there was more to the message. THEVENEMY. Wellington defeated the enemy. The Duke of Wellington had defeated Napoleon at Waterloo. Final victory had been won. Napoleon would soon be forced into exile, where he would scheme and plot the overthrow of Europe and England for the next few years. But his power and his strength had been crushed at the Battle of Waterloo. You know, for the disciples of Jesus Christ and the followers of Jesus, that day that he died upon that cross that we remembered on Friday was a miserable day. It was a miserable day. I think we easily forget this because we here know the full story. We know how it unfolds. But they, the disciples, were so hopeful and so expectant to see Jesus reign as king. But it was all of a sudden smashed to pieces as God's promised Messiah was crucified on a cross. The victory that they thought he was going to bring seemed lost, as the one who had raised others back to life was suddenly dead himself. Christ defeated. It seemed like evil had won. Seemed like injustice had triumphed and all hope was extinguished on that Good Friday. The first Good Friday was not so good. You know, it was a time of despair rather than celebration. But as we know, that is not the end of the story. As we've sung about this morning, that's not the end of the story. Because as Jesus' body lay in that tomb, suddenly blood starts pumping in his veins. And the author and perfecter of life is not dead, but he is awake. He is alive. And the disciples receive the rest of the message as Mary Magdalene and Mary go to the tomb and they find it empty. And the angel of the Lord chooses to reveal this incredible message, not to Peter, not to James, not to John, but the women, as God entrusts the most wonderful, incredible, life-transforming message of the resurrection to those faithful women who had been with him and followed him, not leaving his side. And so the rest of the disciples and the followers of Jesus receive the message, Jesus Christ defeated death. Jesus Christ defeated death. And as such, it has completely changed the world and therefore the way we as believers can live this life with absolute, certain and sure hope that we have for the next, based not on what we have done to achieve it, not on what we do in the slightest, but purely on his mercy and grace bestowed on us through Jesus Christ. So if you have a Bible, 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 3 to 9 is an absolute banger. Okay, so have a look at these verses. Okay, this is amazing. All right, verses 3, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. It says this. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We praise him because it says, in his great mercy, he has given us new birth. He has given it to us. New birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I love how Peter writes this. And into an inheritance, verse 4, that can never, like hear that word, never perish, spoil or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. It says, verse 6, so in all this you greatly rejoice. In all this you greatly rejoice. Now, this is saying that it is because of the manifold mercy of God and his grace that we are saved. You know, Kevin is in glory, not because of anything he has done on earth, not because he is an exceptionally good person, but because he has trusted in Jesus Christ. And in the Billy Graham Crusades, he responded to that message in faith and said, yes, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. And therefore he has changed him and he has given him an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you who through faith are shielded by God's power. It is because of him. And so God has not treated us as our sins deserve, but instead because he loves you. And because he loves me, he has poured out his just wrath and judgment on Jesus Christ, his son, who came willingly into this world to die for you and for me in our place. Like, what an amazing love. that the Saviour and Sustainer of this world would come in human form and love us in such a sacrificial way, knowing everything that there is to know about us. All of those things that we do, all of those hidden thoughts, all of those hidden things that no one else sees, He knows. And yet He loves us just the same, enough to lay down His life for us. You know, that is Good Friday, His death on a cross. And it is through this, the work of Jesus, His resurrection from the dead, that you and I, that we together have new birth, it says, into a living hope. And so this new birth is a picture where we have been born again. Where the old, it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, the old is gone. It is crucified with Christ on that cross. When we trust in Him by faith, the old life, our sinfulness, has been put to death in the grave with Jesus. And so we are given new birth into a living hope because Jesus Christ has risen from the dead and we live by faith in Him. And so we are raised up a new creation as Christ has been raised from the dead. Which means we no longer need to live this life with fear, with worry, but with an expectant and sure hope because we know the future because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Despite all the circumstances of COVID or whatever else may come our way, we have a certain and sure future. That if we really grasp this, will totally transform the way we live. Because death is not the end. Death is not the end. Instead, it is actually just the beginning of eternity where everything is as it should be in glorious wonder. Like, I can't wait for it. Bring it on. And it is possible because of the incredible truth that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. It is a fact. It is a fact. You know, Charles Colson, who was involved in the Watergate scandal in America under the Nixon government, he basically, and a number of other Nixon administration were involved in break-ins and cover-ups as a part of the Nixon government. And as a result of this, Colson, along with many others, were caught, tried, and did jail time. And through this experience, Charles Colson met Jesus and surrendered his life to Him. And later on, he wrote this about the resurrection. He says, "I know the resurrection is a fact, and Watergate proved it to me." He says, how? Because, he says, 12 men testified that they had seen Jesus raised from the dead. Then they proclaimed that truth for 40 years, never once denying it. Every one of them was beaten, tortured, stoned, and or put in prison. They would not have endured that if that were not true. Watergate embroiled 12 of the most powerful men in the world, and they couldn't keep a lie for 3 weeks. You're telling me that 12 apostles could keep a lie for 40 years? Absolutely impossible. Man, I love that. I love it. Because of the fact of the resurrection, what Jesus Christ has done, death is swallowed up in victory. Christ defeated death. And therefore, regardless of what happens in this life, the ebbs and flows, the ups and downs, we always, always have hope. We always, always have this reason for joy. Because that, our eternal hope, cannot be taken away. It cannot. Jesus Christ has sealed it with His life. And so he will swallow up death forever. In Isaiah 25, verse 8 to 9, it's got this beautiful verse. Listen to this and allow this to wash over you. Isaiah wrote this. He says this, telling of what would happen. He says, he will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away tears from all faces. He will remove the disgrace from his people, from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day, they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. I pray that's what we can say. Surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. It says, this is the Lord. We trusted in him. So let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. Oh, you know, in John, Jesus says a very similar thing. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though they die, yet they shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. You know, what an incredible promise these are. Awesome, life-changing promises. The invitation of Jesus to you that says, listen, I am the resurrection and life. I am the beginning and the end. I hold all things in the palm of my hand by the power of his word. He says, whoever believes in me, if you believe in me, though you die, you will live. Do you believe in him? Like, not just in theory, but do you really believe this with your entire being? Do you believe that he is the resurrection and the life? Do you believe who he is and what he has done on your behalf? I pray that today, either you would freshly believe and renew your faith and belief in him and who he is and what he has done, or you might take that step for the very first time and believe in him so that you live this life with hope and joy. You know, these things do make us want to dance, and I'm not that coordinated, okay? But they make me want to dance and make me want to sing and make me want to rejoice. Because it is life-changing. It brings hope. And so in 1 Peter 1, verse 6, right, when it says, in this we greatly rejoice, that is what it is talking about. That is what the in this is. It is we in this new birth. It is in this salvation. It is in this living hope that we have. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, it is in that we do rejoice. Though, it goes on and says, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Notice it doesn't pretend like they're insignificant or that they're nothing. It acknowledges them. We suffer grief in all kinds of trials. But in this salvation, we can still rejoice. It says verse 7, these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. You know, despite the uncertainties of this life and the pain and hurt and even death it brings, we are reminded that it is not the end, and so we live by faith. Because Jesus Christ has come into the world to save all who turn to him by faith and simply believe in his name. And he is coming again. And he is coming again to renew and restore all things. And so it goes on, verse 8, 1 Peter 1. It says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You know, what an absolute ripper verse. Though you have not seen him, you love him. You know, do you love him this morning? Is your life being changed because you love him? Though you do not see him now, it says you believe in him. And so again, I ask you, do you believe in him? Would you continue to believe in him? Fix your eyes on Jesus and the eternal hope that we have in him. Don't lose sight of him, because it is as we do love him and believe in him and walk by faith in him and what he has done at Easter that we will be filled up. And I love how Peter puts it, with an inexpressible and glorious joy. This is where, like, my dance moves and my rejoicing and my songs just can't even express it properly, right? Because it's inexpressible and glorious, and it is a joy. And I want to see this bubbling up inside of every single one of us, so that we cannot contain the life-giving message of the gospel, but it just oozes out and flows to everyone we meet. We can't help but tell her the love of Jesus. That would transform this world. This joy, this salvation is incredible. You know, when D.L. Moody was a young man, he was called upon to suddenly preach at a funeral service at late notice. And so he hunted all through the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, trying to find one of Jesus Christ's funeral services. But he searched in vain. Right, he found that Jesus broke up every funeral he ever attended, because death could not exist where he was. When the dead heard his voice, they sprang to life. Not just in this life, but especially in the next. You know, in Jesus, death has been conquered. He has victory. And I ask the band to come. And therefore, because of him, death has no power, no hold on anyone who has heard the voice of Jesus and believed in him by faith. We have a living and sure hope, because Jesus Christ is not dead, but he is very, very, very much alive. I pray that you know this living hope. If you are here this morning and do not know it, if you're joining us online and do not know it, then we want to connect with you. Like Aaron said, scan the back of the chair and fill in those connect cards, or talk with us after the service as we gather outside or in the foyer, depending on what the weather's like. And we want to meet with you and pray with you. Jesus, we love you and we praise you for who you are, your power over death, your sovereignty in life. And we thank you that because of you, we can live this life with a living hope, because you have risen from the dead. Our salvation is sure. Amen.
In the morning that sealed the promise, your buried body began to breathe out of the sun. Grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your very body began to breathe out of the silence. The roaring lion declared the grave. No claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory.
watching online this morning, or if you're standing in this space this morning, I want you to know God sees you and God loves you. This story of Easter, this resurrection story, is a story that took place for you. For you. Because God sees you and God loves you. So if you're standing there this morning and there's like this beating in your heart, this like sense that what she's saying feels real to me, and even though my brain doesn't quite understand it, I think I believe it, then I want to invite you this morning to ask God to take control. I don't get it, but I think I believe it. God, would you come and take control of my life? It's as simple as that. I want you to know that this is your story. This is your story that Jesus did all of this. He went to the cross and he resurrected to know you. And you can know him this morning. And I want you to know that I don't believe that it's a coincidence that you find yourself in this space today, that you find yourself watching online this morning. I don't believe that is a coincidence that you have been called into this moment so that the King of heaven, the creator of the universe, could tell you today, I see you and I love you. Father, I thank you so much for who you are. I thank you that there's so much of this that we don't understand with our minds, and yet we can have faith. We can have faith in the Creator of the heavens, who wrapped himself in flesh, who sent himself to this earth, who made himself low, and then who resurrected so that we might know you and be restored to you. What an incredible privilege it is to stand before you today and say, have my heart. Have all of me today. Today, King Jesus, I believe in you. We commit this moment to you, this sacred moment, because you are sovereign and because you are alive. It almost feels irreverent to move out of such a sacred moment, don't you think? A moment where I hope people did business with the creator of the universe. But we are going to move out of this moment. Because we want to actually spend time together. And so we would love to invite you to come and have a tea or a coffee with us. Come and tell us your story. Tell us what brings you here today, or why you're celebrating the life of our King Jesus. Don't just leave. Make sure you come and you connect with us. If you want to come and chat or pray with Nate, he's at the back, or myself, or anybody on team, we would love to pray with you this morning. But what an awesome Easter weekend, don't you think? Don't you think? Amazing. Go and have tea and coffee, and we will see you next Sunday.